want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. You have tuned into the Refresh Radio program, a program brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. I'm telling you, they are some wonderful, wonderful, phenomenal saints. It is a privilege for me just to know them, much less to pastor them and do life with them. It is a great joy for us to bring you this Refresh Radio program. And today we want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I was talking to, I know him as Brother Anderson, his name's Horace Anderson from Jits Concrete, and I was talking to him here several days ago, and he was describing that there is so much construction that is going on right now in Brevard County that when they need a load of concrete brought to them, that sometimes the concrete company is telling them that it is a week or so before they can even get that concrete out to them. So I want to encourage you, if you need professional block or concrete people, they're the folks to call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. A lot of people are doing remodels and additions to their homes and things like that. We've used them in the past, and they do just really, really phenomenal work, 321-536-5804. But I told you that about the concrete company to let you know you don't want to call them the day before you do the project. That's not the way that it is. The construction industry is right now. It's kind of blowing and a going. And so you need to, if you see a project coming your way in the near future that you would like to tackle, I encourage you to give them a call well in advance so that you can get the estimate, they can get the material scheduled, and all of that pertinent information is lined up so that there is not a hitch in the construction schedule. Nothing is more frustrating than having other people waiting on another trade to get their project done. And so, you know, in projects that I've overseen in the past, you want to make sure that you do whatever's necessary to get your part done so that the next trade is not waiting on you. Jits Concrete, they can help you out if you've got block or concrete work done, but you do want to get in touch with them quite a bit in advance so that you can get everything working seamlessly on your renovation project, 321-536-5804. So tonight's family night at Merritt Assembly of God. We're excited about that. We've got boys and girls ministry that starts at 6:30. We start serving food at 6. From there, about 6:45, we dismiss from our opening gathering. We do some praise and worship, some announcements, and then we move to our various classes. We have three girls' classes. We got one boys' class. I teach the boys' class myself. It covers anywhere from 10 to 17-year-olds is what we have in that class right now. And we will tonight begin going through the book of Acts. We just finished with the book of John, and we teach them not only the word of God, but this world needs leaders. I was doing my personal devotions here not too long ago, and it said about this one particular group, I was going through First Chronicles, and it was describing this one group of people, and it said there were more leaders from this group than there was from another group. And that caught my attention. There were more leaders from this group than there was from another group. And I would like there to be more leaders from the body of Christ than there are from the world. I really would. I believe that God is capable of raising up anointed, godly leaders that will not only serve the body of Christ well, they'll serve society well. And so that's what we try and do. We not only instill biblical principles into them, but life principles as well to help them. Some of our boys are already talking about going into the military. Some are serving in ROTC. We just want to help them to be the best young men that they possibly can be. Today, if you would, and by the way, the adult service starts at 7, a few minutes afterwards, and I don't teach that class, but one of our board members does, and it is time well spent in the Word of God. I did get to attend a class not too long ago, and it will be a blessing to you. I've got people that's one of their favorite services during the week is Wednesday night Bible study. This coming Sunday, we have our fifth Sunday celebration. We're having a Mexican food-themed potluck dinner after the service, and I will be preaching the Word that day as well. And as always, as I've done here in recent past, is I want to let you ladies know about a phenomenal Sunday that God has laid upon our hearts for Mother's Day, May the 13th, 2018. We've set aside all of the traditional stuff that we have ordinarily done to focus on this one particular service where I believe that God is going to do some amazing things in the lives of women. I'm looking for transformation of an epic nature in ladies' lives. And so if you can put that on your calendar, it's a message, like I said, God's laid on my heart. And we are really excited about what God is going to do during that. We have been so far this week in Matthew, the third chapter. And so I'll begin reading today in verse number 7, Matthew 3, verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So yesterday we had ended with the discussion on that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John is saying there that's the will of God. It should be something that we all long for. And I ask people many times, do you want to experience as much of God the Father as you possibly can? And the answer is yes. And then I ask, well, do you want to experience the presence of Jesus to as much as you can? And the answer is yes. But when you start asking about God the Holy Spirit and whether you want as much of him as you possibly can have, a lot of people start getting a little anxious, a little nervous, if you will, because there has been some stuff that has taken place that they were uncomfortable with. And so they don't know if they, in fact, they are pretty convinced that they don't want that much of God the Holy Spirit? Well, I can tell you this. I want as much of God dwelling inside of me as I can possibly get. When the Holy Spirit is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts and lives, I need to operate in that. When the Holy Spirit can give you divine insight into how he is ministering to people and what he's dealing with in their heart and life right now, I can tell you this, that I need that. Now, I don't go chasing after prophetic words. God knows exactly where I am. He knows where I'm at. And so if God has a prophetic word for me, I know this, he's going to be able to deliver that. Does that mean that I don't ever go to another church service? No, I don't. But I do go. That's not what I'm saying. I do go to those services, and I go to receive from God at that point in time. I do not think that I have a corner on the Word of God, that I have an exclusive. I realize that I am a man in need. And back in the 1980s, there was a televangelist who made a statement. Somebody said that they were praying for him, and his response was, "I don't need you to pray for me." And in actuality, he needed people to be praying for him. I'm a person that realizes that I am not a body unto myself, but that I am just a cell of the body of Christ, just a member of the body of Christ, and that we all need the ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives. So it says here, he will baptize you. He will immerse you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so I know this, fire will burn as long as there is fuel. When we're talking about that purification process, that refining process, as long as there is fuel, as long as there is air flow, there is that fire is going to continue to burn unless it is snuffed out. So I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't want to isolate the Holy Spirit. I want to allow the Holy Spirit. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to function and on the same fullness that we would extend to God the Father and God the Son, as well as God the Holy Spirit. And it says this, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. A threshing floor was the place that they had set aside for the processing of the wheat grain. Wheat grows on a stalk. They would go, they would cut the stalk off. They would take the heads off. They would bring it back to the threshing floor. Many times they would run over it to break up the tight connection between the chaff and the wheat grain itself. The wheat grain has nutritional value. The chaff doesn't. And so they would many times process that to where the two would be detached from one another. As long as you and I want to be attached or bonded to our sin, then there's not anything that anyone is ever going to be able to say to you that's going to get you to lay that aside. But when you and I come to that place where we realize that that thing has a stranglehold on us, not a beneficial hold on us, then we're going to long for freedom. We're going to long for holiness. We're going to long to be separated from that parasite that is sucking the life right out of us. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is nothing beneficial about anything that he sows into your life. It might look appealing, but you can rest assured that in the end, it is going to bite like a viper. So once the chaff and the grain were separated, that was where this thing that is mentioned here, this winnowing fan, comes into play. Now, I had to do research on this because I wasn't, 100% sure that I knew the full meaning of that word. A winnowing fan was a tool that was used to separate the grain from the wheat. Now, here's the thing. the grain was of greater substance than the chaff. It had more weight to it, more mass. So what they would do is they would position themselves at this threshing floor where there was a nice airflow that went through there. Okay? A nice flow of air. In between our two buildings at our church, we have a breezeway, and that breezeway is pretty nice because it acts a bit like a wind tunnel, so it can be quite warm outside, but in that breezeway, the temperature is much more moderated. It's not in direct sunlight, and any air that is blowing, especially when it comes out of the north, it flows right down that breezeway, and a couple of Sundays ago, to get ready for that Sunday service on Saturday, I brought my weed blower, or my lawn blower from the house. It's a new toy that I got. It's a cordless one. And that's a whole lot better than dragging, 100 or 150 feet of extension cord around. And so, on Saturday night, late on Saturday night, I took my weed blower and I blew everything off of the sidewalks, and it looked really good. When I was the first one back at the building on Sunday morning, and I saw a leaf stuck in the door that I know that I had blown all of that stuff out the night before. And when I got there, I was like, how did I miss that? I thought it was my fault. But in reality, when I opened the door, I found that there were a whole bunch of leaves and everything that had blown down the breezeway, and everything that was clean the day before was now covered in debris. It was a pretty stormy weekend on that particular day. And so one of the board members from the church, they took a broom and they swept it all out and got it all nice and clean. And wouldn't you know that when I came out after the morning service and locked up everything, that I walked out into the breezeway and it looked worse at that point in time than it did either of the other two times. There was a flow of wind. I'm telling you about this because it was the winnowing fan that would separate the chaff and the wheat. The grain was beneficial. The chaff is worthless. The grain has weight to it. It has substance to it. The chaff would just blow away. And so they would take this tool called a winnowing fan, and they would kind of gently toss it up in the air. And when they did, there would become greater distance between the grain and the chaff, and the wind at the threshing floor would blow the chaff away, and it would leave a useful product in the grain. Okay? There are several passages of Scripture that deal with the winnowing process. It wasn't just something that was talked about. It was something everybody was familiar with, but it also had spiritual applications. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 8, it says, "When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes." And so it says here that the king is the one that would be in process, and it would be beneficial to the king to make sure that there was a separation of evil from his throne. That was not a discriminatory thing. It wasn't a political consolidation. It was a spiritual consolidation. It meant, look, I'm not going to have the proud. I'm not going to have liars. I'm not going to have murderers. I'm not going to have adulterers. I'm not going to have the arrogant or the deceitful. I'm not going to have violent people there. He says anything that is evil, if there's a person that does not have a heart after God, they're not going to serve in that king's cabinet, in his government. He's like, God was telling Solomon, hey, make sure that you pass this teaching on along, that wickedness drags down a nation, but righteousness exalts a nation. It says, when a wise king winnows out the wicked, he drives the threshing wheel over them. Same concept. It is, if you want to have a long and prosperous duration of authority, you want to make sure that the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you entrust your vision to, the people that you have around you that serve the same people that you do, that you surround yourself with righteous people. That means that there are going to have to be some things you say no to. Don't be afraid to say no. Listen, in Christianity, I want to say yes to holiness over giftedness. There are a lot of people who have wealth, but they don't have the heart for God. If it comes a choice between the two, a lot of people will choose the finances, but in doing so, you're going to bring a lot of heartache on yourself, because those people are going to soon want to control you. Listen, I want to have people around me who have a heart to be controlled by God. That's just who I am. And so you want to make sure that you get that tendency of wickedness away from you. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 16, I want to turn back to that one just a second. Isaiah chapter 41, I know that we did this a great deal when we were on the air about Isaiah, and we touched through this. But let me just take you back. It says in verse number 14, Isaiah 41, "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord." Great promise. "And your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them." Okay? And so it says, "You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." God has got to make us sharp. Iron sharpens iron. Don't be afraid for somebody to enhance you and make you more powerful by making you more effective. Okay? A lot of people want to isolate themselves and protect themselves. And in actuality, what they've done is they've imprisoned themselves. I want to be a better pastor next year than I am currently. I want to be a better radio program speaker than I am currently. So if somebody says, "Hey, have you ever given any consideration that this might be better than that?" Don't just automatically reject them. Don't automatically accept it either. You've got to take that and do what I do, and that is, if someone offers you that information, you take it. You take it to the throne of grace. You take it to your superior, God, and you say, "God, is there any veracity in this? If there is truth here, then I want to embrace it. If this is not coming from your heart, from your throne, then I'm going to take it like chaff, and I'm going to and let it blow away." What happened was, when these people were allowed to be transformed by God, it made them sharper. That meant that they were more effective. They were more effective at bringing in the harvest with less effort, if you will. And it says, "I'm also going to cause you to winnow out the things from the land that are profitable and those things that are unprofitable." There's a separation. And he goes on here, and in verse number 41, it says, "You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." When they went to the threshing floor, when the winnowing took place, it was a time of great celebration, because now they were actually looking at the increase. Yes, the chaff had grown up in the same field as the grain. It had come from the same stalk. But now there was something useful in their life. Sometimes there's growth that takes place, but remember this: God always prunes everything that is growing. He prunes that which is unfruitful because it's unfruitful. He prunes that which is fruitful to make it even more fruitful. And so whenever that process is taking place, make sure that you rejoice. This when John says his winnowing fan is in his hand, the children of Israel would have gone right back in their minds to Isaiah chapter 41, and they would have known that it wasn't a time of sorrow, it was a time of great rejoicing. One more thing, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 7 says this, I will winnow them with a winnowing fork at the city gates of the land. I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people, for they have not changed their ways. Here, this passage is describing the people that Jeremiah was speaking to as the chaff and not the wheat. God wants you to be the wheat and not the chaff. And he says that the distinction, the way that you identify something that is beneficial like grain or something that is disposable like chaff, is whether or not you and I are willing to change to become more like God. Am I teachable? Am I changeable? Or do I have this mindset that I've arrived and therefore I don't need to change? Listen, there's only one individual in the scriptures that never has to change, and that is God. He says, I am the Lord God. I don't ever change. The reason he never changes is because there's never a software update that needs to be done. There's never a thought pattern that needs to be corrected. There's never a behavioral issue that says, you know what, I think I could do better next time. God never changes because he is, was, and always shall be perfect. I got news for you. The winnowing didn't stop when John the Baptist ministry was over. One more thing I found out from my research on this, there were people who did not, when modern technology started improving the threshing process, they said, we don't want to have any part in that because that involves air and that's God's responsibility. What they were saying? God's really good at his job. He's really good at his job. And today, if you're listening, allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life to see if there's anything that he wants to blow on so he can blow it away and breathe in times of refreshing for you and for me. This is the Refresh Radio program. Getting rid of the chaff is a very refreshing thing. God bless you. Have a marvelous day in Jesus, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.